Unfortunately, it was evident his estimates had been low. The battle off Dragon Island represented the first true test case for what was likely to happen when the Imperial Carizian Navy confronted equally determined, properly designed enemy galleons, and it was clear to him that he'd been overconfident. Powell's small squadron had triumphed despite a significant numerical disadvantage, and Manthir strongly suspected his ships had inflicted heavier casualties than they'd taken. Yet from the squadron's reports, he also suspected that if the Doloran commander had been prepared to haul off to make repairs, then renew the action, the result might have been much less satisfactory.
"And whatever happened here, I'm down half a galleon's crew, probably more than that by now in the squadron as a whole, allowing for accidents and disease, and I've just added an additional ship. So where exactly do I find the men to man them?"
The question had a certain pertinency, yet at the moment it actually came second to a more pressing concern. The Earl of Thirsk was a tough-minded professional. He'd draw much the same conclusions Manthir had. And unlike Manthir, Thirsk was in a position of steadily increasing strength. It was unlikely a man like that, with the evidence of how well his captains had done at Dragon Island, wouldn't be looking for ways to use that growing strength.
"We should have brought more schooners," Manthir thought. "What I really need to do is to send a couple of dozen of them out to operate independently and raise Shan Wei's own mischief. Let them pounce on Doloran and Ha Chong'i's shipping in as many places as possible. That would force Thirsk to spread his galleons out, and he'd play hell running down any of the schooners. But I don't have enough of them to be everywhere they'd need to be, which means he's going to be able to cover his most important shipping in convoys, like he did at Dragon Island, and still free up the strength, if not now, soon enough, to try something a bit more offensive. And the only way I'm going to have the strength to stop him is going to be to keep my own galleons concentrated."
He didn't care for that conclusion. He was supposed to be whittling down the church's naval forces, and his new appreciation of the Doloran Navy's combat worthiness was going to make that more difficult. He knew he'd already imposed a significant delay on the Doloran building program. He'd captured or sunk too many cannon-laden coasters and shipments of turpentine, pitch, spars, and every other naval stores imaginable for any other result. And he was confident he could inflict still more delay, still more damage. But he was going to have to operate more defensively, and the less aggressive he could be, the less effective he was going to become.
"And if Thirsk is willing to commit to offensive operations of his own, the first item on his list is going to be Trove Island. And even if Major Windale's marines had enough heavy artillery to hold the anchorage forever, which they don't, there's a limit to how long a siege they could stand. If Thirsk has the galleon strength to drive us off, he could isolate the island with just a handful of old-style galleys. And if I don't have the strength to break through and lift Windale out, Thirsk will eventually starve him and his men into surrender, however willing to hold out they might be."
He sighed as he admitted that.
"Well, it's not the end of the world, Gwillem," he told himself philosophically. "Trove's been convenient and useful as hell, but it's not essential. You've got the transports Windale arrived on, so it's time you pulled him out and sent him back to Claw Island. That's a lot more defensible anyway, and by the time Thirsk starts getting any ambitious ideas about Claw, he's going to be a hell of a long way from his own ports. And in the meantime, you can probably raise quite a bit of hell with the Ha Chong'is."
He nodded sharply, turned and walked to the cabin door. He opened it and poked his head out.
"Yes, sir?" Lieutenant Rosman said, looking up and then rising from his seat behind Manthir's desk, where he'd been working on the squadron's accounts.
"I'll want to meet with Powell, Iwane, Stewart, and Captain McGale after supper tonight, Donald," Manthir told him. "See to it that they're informed, please. And I suppose you'd better warn Niklos, too.